And good evening. Welcome tonight to Bible study. Big night on the campus tonight as we are also opening our Awana program. And so if the walls in this room begin to shake, you know it's the first night of Awana. And so just bear with us. Welcome those of you that are watching online tonight. We're so delighted to have you. And hope and pray that you're getting settled in, ready for a good time in the house of the Lord and ready for Bible study. I love Wednesday night. One of my favorite services is the Wednesday night time. And so trusting God to do just a great work in our hearts. I've been thinking about this song all day, and I thought it'd be a great one to open Bible study tonight. I don't know what type of day you had, whether positive or negative, what type of tomorrow you have, but I thought we'd just sing about our love for Jesus. The simple hymn, "Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me." Stand if you would, listen to what you're singing, read the words, and let it bless you.
Heavenly Father, Lord, oh, how we love you. But you first loved us. You loved us so much that you sent your Son to die on a cross for us so we can spend eternity with you. Father, we thank you for another beautiful day. We thank you for bringing us here on a Wednesday night to a Bible study where we can hear your word. Father, I just thank you for the Awana program starting back up tonight. Lord, protect the children that are in there tonight. Allow them to hear your word and allow them to be a light for you in future endeavors, Lord. Father, I just ask that if someone's here tonight that they haven't received you as your Lord and Savior, or they're listening online tonight, that they reach out to us and ask us how they know they can go to heaven. Father, I ask you to be with Pastor tonight as he brings us a Bible study message. We love you. We love Pastor. We love everyone here. Be with us now as we turn around and greet one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn around and wave to someone.
Wonderful. Again, so good to see you tonight. Have much to communicate to you and with you and enlist you in and praying and so on. And so let me begin by just making some announcements and some things to look forward to. Again, don't forget, Saturday is a busy day here. In the morning, we have a baby shower for the Segueras. In the evening, in the afternoon, we have a youth activity for our young people. And so I hope and pray that you'll be part of that and that you will pray for that as well. And God's doing some amazing things in our youth department right now. The last couple of weeks, they've had somebody saved in the class, had another person saved last week on Wednesday night, another teenager that gave their heart to the Lord Jesus. And so they're excited to put together this activity. And of course, we're excited to celebrate with Danny and with Peggy. Again, September is our missions month. And so this Sunday, we have a guest speaker with us, Dr. Phil Stringer. You're going to enjoy Dr. Stringer, and I love listening to him, and he preaches great, and he is one that has preached all over the world. He's pastored as well. Missions is his heartbeat, and you're going to find it to be just a very encouraging morning. He'll preach two different messages, so if you would like to hear both of them, then 8:30 and 10:30, of course, we will stream the 10:30 service, I see a thumbs up. Is that right, Reuben? Okay, I'm getting a big smile and a thumbs up like I did something wrong. We'll be streaming the 10:30 service on that day, so you can come to the 8:30 and then catch the 10:30 or stay for the 10:30 either way, but you'll want to hear both of these messages. And then, of course, we're working toward the end of the month, which is our anniversary Sunday, and I've been so encouraged. The phone is ringing, and people are letting me know that this is going to be the day that they are going to be coming back to church. Some of our folks that are in facilities like assisted living or some type of combined living, they've already said that it will be their jailbreak Sunday, and so they're looking to get out and to be there, and I'm looking forward to having them. I did want to let you know that we are doing a baptism on that day, and we are going to the table of the Lord that day. We will be voting in new members in that morning as well. We did reach, a couple of folks have requested a totally social distant class, and so we will be opening that room. That room will be a mask only room for pretty much the entire time. And some of our elderly folk, high-risk folks, are going to be in that class. So we have enough, we believe, to open the room, and we will plan on doing that. I still would love for you, if that's something that you desire on that day, if you would please call and reserve your spot. That way we'll be prepared with enough of the elements for the table of the Lord to do that. And so I'm hoping and praying that we get all of our church family. If you throw a family reunion, you want all your church family, you want your friends and your guests on that precious day. So be in prayer about all of that. We've had wonderful things happen in our building program. Sunday, we were at 72 lights out of the 165. Tonight, as you see, we are out at 76. That may not seem like a lot, but if you take four times $9,100, you will see that I think about $37,000, $39,000 came in this week for our building fund. We can say amen to that. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. And so we're excited about that. You see the building, the forming out there. We were supposed to pour concrete tomorrow. I do believe we're going to get rained out for that, so we're going to go ahead and move that pouring, I believe, till next week. God is going to do the pouring tomorrow in rain, and we will do the pouring in concrete on Monday. And Lord willing, we'll be protected from the rain as well. So we praise God for that. We passed a lot of inspections today that we needed, and things are happening there. And we give him all the glory and all the praise. Some prayer requests. If you have a pen, just to jot it down here briefly and some praises. Again, please continue to pray for Arlene Whelan and Pat Harris. These would be two ladies that are dealing with cancer, and they're dealing with it faithfully, and they're dealing with it with the joy of the Lord and are dealing with it spiritually. And so we're asking God for wisdom, for strength, for healing, for mercy, all of those things. Bill Halsworth was supposed to have a surgery today, but it was postponed to heart palpitations. And so I want you to pray for Brother Bill. He's not here tonight, but he may be watching online. And so pray for him if you would. Barrington. How many know Barrington? Barrington's probably watching online, and I think he'll be okay. Barrington Rose was a strong, able-bodied man. And then he had a stroke and a brain bleed. And it stripped him of his physical strength. And it has left him different. He would say weak physically. He would say incapable, struggle, so on. I've not had that happen to me personally. I know it has happened to people that I know and that I love. I cannot imagine you're fine one minute and you're different the next minute. Radically different in a negative way. He called me today, texted me today, said, "Pastor, pray for me." He said, "I fight discouragement." He said, "The devil tells me that I'm not the man that I used to be." And he wanted to be encouraged, and he wanted his church family to pray for him for encouragement. By the way, nobody is a man or a woman because of what you're physically able to do. You're a man or a woman because of who you are and your character and your nature and so on and so forth. Just pray. Pray that he would find his strength in the Lord. Pray that he would be protected from the wiles of the enemy, those fiery darts that the enemy throws at us. And he's needing his church family to pray for encouragement for him. We prayed for encouragement for Tom Thompson, and God answered that prayer. He gives God glory there. Still continue to keep Brother Tom in our prayers. Viviana Gomez is asking prayer for her, for Carlos's sister Vicky, who's having health issues, and she's in the hospital in Costa Rica. Phil Simons. Need to give God glory and praise for his life tonight. Phil has a problem with his throat that it narrows or it's restrictive. You got to be careful what he ate, and he took one bite of a pulled pork sandwich, and that one bite lodged within his throat, and he did not choke where it would suffocate, but it attacked the body, and he tried to get it out. He just couldn't get it out. The body tried to get it out. It couldn't come out. That went from that to chest pain, sent him to the hospital. They did an endoscopy. They were able to remove the piece of meat there, and he's giving God glory for his life. Pray for Beulah, because she told him not to do it, and she wants to kill him. And so pray for their marriage, if you would, as well. And I'm sure if they're watching, they would appreciate that so much. But we love Phil and Beulah, and boy, God was merciful to him and to them. So many others that are calling and letting us know that God is moving, so many other situations. And so just continue to keep your church family in prayer. I wanted to ask you also to pray for Nick and Lorena. Nick is seated here. Nick, come if you would. You know, they're getting ready to be missionaries. They are missionaries. They're not getting ready to be. They are missionaries. And you know that God has called them to Japan. We've had the wonderful privilege to have them in our services and to be home for a while. But they're getting ready to go on a stretch of deputation that will take them away from the church. And so I wanted him to give us an update about the ministry, give us an update as to what God is doing and some of their plans and where they are and how we could pray for him and for Lorena and for little baby Levi. We love these two people, do we not? We love them dearly. And so give us an update, give us a report, and then I'm going to come back and have prayer for you, okay? All right.
Well, it's always a blessing when I'm able to stand before my church family and just, like a pastor said, give an update on how the Lord is progressing us forward and what he has for us as missionaries to Japan. And I did want to start out right away by stating that this September marks one full year since we started Deputation. And so we just give the Lord praise and glory for that. Now, I might call an audible and ask for 5 months back that COVID took away with those travel restrictions and whatnot. But we just give the Lord grace and praise for what He's done. It's been 1 year, and it's just unbelievable to see where we were and where we've come from. This past year has brought with it great blessing. It's brought with it great learning. It's brought with it difficulties that we've had to adjust to and learn how to navigate our way through. Last September, when we started, we had all of these questions. Where are we going to stay when we hit the road? What are we going to do when we go into these churches? How are we going to be received? How are we going to not eat fast food in every place that we go? And let me tell you something, Lorena will never eat Subway again. But the Lord Jesus has cared for us greatly. We've seen Him as He's provided for us. We've seen Him as He's navigated through us through all of those waters and brought us again 1 year to this very moment now. And we're getting ready to set out on the road again. Now, where we stand as far as our support level goes, in my flesh, maybe a little bit lower than I was expecting. Again, COVID kind of took away some of those opportunities that we would have had if we had those opportunities to travel. But again, my thoughts and my ways are way below the Lord's thoughts and the Lord's ways. And we know that He's going to bring unto us all that He has for us. And so our prayer again, as I've stated before, at the end of this year is to be at 60% of our support. And so we'd ask and we'd urge you to please join us in that prayer, to be at that 60% of our monthly support level. And we're looking forward to that. And as Pastor indicated, this Friday we head out for about 2 months on the road in Deputation. But this time we're doing it riding in style. And so, Brother Mike, and so we purchased an RV. And now I've never used an RV. I had no idea how to use one. We took it out not long ago, and we got it for a great price. Praise the Lord. And we're asking the Lord's protection over it. Since we purchased it, it was used, and it had some things that needed to be fixed, and some structural damage and whatnot that had to be fixed on it. And just the other day, when we were driving back from a church over in the West Coast, one of the panels flew off in the middle of the highway. And it was just another one of those things. And we had already gotten one of the panels fixed, and now another panel flew off. And later that night, I was just a little bit discouraged about it, thinking to myself, how is this RV going to survive us for not only 2 months, but the next year and a half? And I said, in my prayer, I said, Lord, couldn't you have just given us a new one? Couldn't we have just purchased a new one that didn't have all these problems? And instantly, He answered my prayer in my heart, and He told me, I'm teaching you to trust me. And that was a powerful moment for me, because up until this time, I have been so discouraged about the RV and the repairs and all of these things that it needed and needs. And then the Lord says, I need you to trust me. And He put the scripture on my heart about the Jews going through the Exodus, where He kept their clothes and their shoes from wearing away. For 40 years, they didn't wear away. And, you know, their clothes aren't like our clothes. Our clothes wear away anyway, but theirs even more so. And for 40 years, the Lord kept them. And so I know for a year and a half, the Lord can take this RV and keep it. And this time as well, we're traveling with a whole new ball game. We've got little Levi, our 4-month-year-old baby, for those who don't know. And so we haven't done this before. It's a whole new ball game. And I'm a little bit annoyed at him, because he gets to enjoy everything and have absolutely no idea what's going on, right? We get to suffer for the Lord, and he just sits there smiling away as if everything's okay. And we'll tell him stories one day, but it's just so sweet for us to be able to watch him as he grows and as he learns more and more. God has filled our schedule with opportunities. We'll be presenting almost every single Sunday and almost every Wednesday as well, from this whole fall to mid-December, and then almost all of next spring. And the Lord is continuing to fill those dates, fill those times for us, and it's just absolutely amazing. And church family, let me just tell you that this doesn't just happen. It's not like a pastor knocks on our door and says, hey, you want to come and visit our church? It takes hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of being on the phone for months trying to get a foot in and build that schedule. And it has nothing to do with me. I'm just trying to be as faithful as I can with the Lord's ministry that he's given unto us. But the Lord has built our schedule, and we're just so thankful for that. And so now we're praying for those long-lasting partnerships with those that are willing to invest in us, those that are willing to reach Japan for Christ and the world ultimately for the Lord. And so we'd ask for your prayers. Right now, we're about 25 to 30% of our support level. COVID has altered our support level just a little bit. But that's okay, because the Lord knows and it's in his hands. And we're confident that by the end of Christmas next year, not this year, but next year, just after Christmas time is when we're going to be moving to Japan full time. And so we'd ask and we'd urge you for your prayers for that. And just to finish this off, I just want to say this last thing, if I have a few more moments. I want to urge my church family, pray and invest in missions and in missionaries. Pray and invest. In a time in America when the church of God is under attack, there is nothing more vital than breaking down the gates of hell by investing in missionary work. I was reading a missionary biography the other day, and Pastor, if I have a time, I just want to read one little excerpt from it. This excerpt really blessed me, and it really moved me, and I'm praying it'll do the same as we prepare for Missions Month in our church here. The biography stated this. It says, after trekking a month through the nearly impossible New Guinea brush to reach the unreached Aboriginal tribes, Russell Diebler was a skeleton of a man with a fungus causing the raw tissue to scale off his feet, leaving only open flesh. His wife Darlene was told to tend each night to his wounds by taking a tweezer each morning and tearing off every layer of tissue until the raw, throbbing flesh was exposed, that she might properly apply the healing ointment. One morning while she was tending to his feet, Darlene wrote these words. She said, Dr. Jaffray walked into the bedroom and saw me tearing the dead tissue off Russell's feet, the blood and pus running, and a wave of nausea passed over his face. And then he turned and without a word abruptly left the room. He closeted himself in his bedroom, and when I called at noon, he said he would not be out for lunch. And about 4 that afternoon, he walked out and laid a manuscript on the table in front of me, and I picked it up and I read the editorial for our field magazine, The Pioneer. And he wrote this. He said, this morning I looked at the bleeding feet of a missionary, and I saw his wife tending them, saw the blood and pus running from them, and thought to myself, what a nauseating sight that is. But as I walked from the room, the Lord kept saying to me, oh, but to me they are beautiful feet. And then I remembered how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings the good tidings to men and women like those in New Guinea who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Someday it will all be over. Someday the tired, bleeding feet of the missionaries will for the last time cross those broken bottle limestone mountains. Someday, for the last time, they will go down into one of those newly discovered valleys. Someday, for the last time, they will speak the message of redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. Someday, that last one will turn to Jesus. And then the clouds will part asunder, and our Savior will be there. Church family, Christ is coming, and there is so much work for us to be done. And so I'm asking, pray for us, pray for my wife and I, pray for missionaries, invest in missions, invest in us that we might cross those broken bottle limestone mountains faithfully and reach those who have never been heard. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your time and for your prayers.
Amen, Brother Nick. Amen. Stirring, wonderful. For those of you that may not know a lot about a missions program, God calls people out of local churches to go around the world and to plant churches and to preach the gospel. God, through his scripture, has challenged local churches like ours to invest, pray, to give, some to go. This is what we concentrate on in the month of September and throughout all the year. Nick and Lorena are on something called deputation. Big word. Really, it's out there to enlist partners and to raise money. And so they travel as God opens doors from church to church And they stand in the pulpits, they present the nation of Japan, they present the calling God has put on their heart, they present the burden, they present the direction, and then they pray that God would allow and enable that church to partner with them. I think the average church partnership right now is about $80 a month. So when you need, you know, thousands of dollars to go to a field, you need a lot of churches that give $80 a month. And so those churches commit to get behind the missionary and they begin to support that missionary. They mail that money to a mission board and the board takes care of that and organizes it for them. And then they go on the field. It does take money to do ministry. It takes money to do local church ministry. It takes money to do ministry around the world. Praise God, God has money. Right? So I tell you this all the time. Try to get it into your thought process. God has wealth. We know that. God has a work. We know what that work is. That's to reach men and women with the gospel. And the way that God gets his wealth into his work is through his people. And in a way that God gets wealth into his work through his people is he funnels that money through his child. And not a child that's going to keep the money, but a child that's going to be willing to give the money. And so you will find that God's not necessarily asking you to give your money. He'll ask you to give his money. And so he funnels. So I tell God all the time, Lord, if you want me to give, then you show me what you want me to do, and you provide that money, and I'll give it. The worst thing you can do is tell God you'll give money and keep it. Just ask Ananias and Sapphira about that, right? So they go to churches. Churches back them with support. And then when they reach that goal of support where they can at least sustain on the field, then they go to the country and begin missions. And so Nick and Lorena are desiring for that to be at the end of 2021. And I believe God can do that. You believe that? Say amen. And so we're behind you. We love you. And pray for that RV for sure. And that actually, the more Nick talked, the more that Lorena went up on my prayer list. Did anybody else feel that way, or was I the only one? I may have been the only one to feel that way. All right, let's have prayer, and we'll sing, and we'll have our lesson. Heavenly Father, God, what a joy, what a delight it is to know you. To know you as God, to know you as our Savior, to know you in person, to know you through your word, through your spirit, to know you through your acts, your hands. Lord, just to know your great love. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Lord, it's great to know purpose. You have a purpose and a plan for every person that's ever been born. That purpose and that plan begins with salvation. And then from the point of salvation, that purpose and that plan begins to unfold into the will of God. And no two people's plan is the same. It's like a fingerprint. No two people have the same fingerprint. We're told no two snowflakes are the same. And so the same way that no two people have the same fingerprint, no two people have the same, totally same plan or will or direction. You did not call me to go to Japan. You called me to South Florida from Michigan. But your plan for Nick and Lorena was to call Lorena's family from Venezuela to here, for her to meet Nick, for them to get married, and then the two of them to go and be called to Japan. And to be honest, life is pretty meaningless without fulfilling the plan that God has for us. And so the great news is where you guide, you will always provide. And provision is not just money, it's safety, it's joy, it's relational, it's all kinds of things. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have provided for Nick and Lorena, and trust you to continue to pray to provide, especially with little Levi, Lord, and keep him safe. And, Lord, traveling all those miles in an RV and pulling in and hooking up and setting up and all of that, it's just not a simple, simple life. So, Lord, minister in and through them. May the power of God rest upon them. And Lord, as they stand in the pulpits of those churches, not only do they present the calling of God, they present Plantation Baptist Church. We're their home church. We're their sending church. And so God, as they present the ministry, they're presenting us in partnership. And so we thank you for that. Lord, much to pray about tonight. Many needs, many health requests. Lord, many that need wisdom and decisions. Many that need miracles. Much to praise you about the strong hand of God, the good hand of God. And so we just thank you for who you are. I pray you help me preach, Lord, tonight. And the Bible study is just something that all of us need to know and to practice and to rest on and to learn from tonight. Draw us close to you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to do one more hymn before I come. And the reason for it is it's so fitting for what Nick has just said. And it's fitting for the message tonight. It's a song that talks about the leadership of the Lord in our lives and how He leads us along. Sometimes it's through water. Sometimes it's through flood. Sometimes it's through the fire. But we're all protected through the blood. And even though there can be great sorrow in the will of God, in the plan of God, and in our lives, God gives us a song that's in the night season and all the day long. If you've come tonight or you're listening tonight, and life is not easy, and it's not simple, and it's difficult, and you have a trial, and you feel the pain of all of that, you're going to appreciate the words of this wonderful hymn. Let's stand one more time. Let's do all three verses. I trust it'll do in your heart what God wants it to.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cold flow, bathes a weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows ye follow and Satan oppose, God leads His dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Amen. Be seated. I hope you remember that hymn tonight, tomorrow, throughout the seasons of your life. You might want to note that or record that or have that somewhere in your devotional time. Take your Bible if you would. Find, if you would, the very last chapter of the book of Esther, chapter number 10, as we come to the end of our study and the end of our series in this wonderful book. To be honest with you, we could probably go back and start all over and preach it totally with new and greater application and depth upon depth. Just because we will finish the book of Esther tonight does not mean that it needs to be finished in your life. I would encourage you to do personal study on it. I think it is a powerful and wonderful book, and a practical book for our lives, as the title suggests, Hidden in Plain Sight. I think that is just very fitting for us as we sometimes navigate our lives, and the circumstances of our lives and the trials of our lives seem to blot out the vision of God in our life, or blot out the presence of God in our lives. And sometimes those things can get us to think things that aren't true, like, does God care? Is God there? And my circumstances may say that God is nowhere to be found, but my circumstances are not the holy word of God. And so as we look at the nation of Israel and we see that God was there all the time, even in the depth of their perplexity, even the depth of their sorrow and the death sentence that was upon them, and yet God was there. He knew everything. He was working according to his great promises. He was working with his great power, and you see how he just showed himself strong as their deliverer. And the same God that delivered them is the same God that saved me, same God that saved you, the same God that worked miraculously in their life is the same God that can work miraculously in my life. And so just wonderful, wonderful truths. I find myself visiting the nation of Israel, visiting Mordecai and visiting Esther in my mind as I run into situations where I don't know, or the unknown recently, and I just kind of relax and say, okay, God, the Jews didn't see you when Haman was there, but you were there. I may not see you right now, but I know you're there. I know enough to not quit. I know enough to that I do not want to stop believing or trusting, and I know that you are working on my behalf. Pastor, how do I know that God is always working on my behalf? Good question. The reason you know that God is always working on your behalf is because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God works all things for the child of God, for those that love him, for our good. So I find myself many times saying, God, I don't see good in this with my physical eye. But with my eye of faith and my understanding, I know there's good in this. I don't know how you're going to work good, but you promised you were going to work good. And so I'm going to trust you to work out good. And the more that I'm in the book of Esther, the stronger I get in that. And then I follow that by saying, I know you will work it out for my good, but I know you also work all things out for your glory. So as you're working it for my good, I want you to be glorified. And I may not see it in the moment. It may take a long time for me to see it. But I have never had God work anything but good in my life. And neither have you. Well, how do you know my life, Pastor? You don't know what I've been through. Right. But I know what this Bible says, and this is the eternal word of God, right? And so if the Bible says that God works things out for our good, then he does. Can God take something that the devil meant for evil and use it for good? Yes, he can. Can God take something that tragically I did in my own life and work it for my good? Yes, he can. Can God take pain and sorrow and use that for good? Yes, he can. And he does, and he will. And so we've been through the book. We have come to the climax of the book. We have seen that the enemy has been defeated, and we've seen the great victory, and we've thrown a party even that, and we talked about that last week. And so it's interesting how the book actually ends. It ends with three verses in chapter number 10. Bible scholars tell us that these three verses cover an 8-year period of time. And so as the writer has written to us about all that God has done, the destruction of Haman, the deliverance of the nation of Israel, the institution of the Feast of Purim, the writer leaves us three verses to kind of just let us know how things rolled out past that day. And so pick up, if you would please, chapter number 10, verse number 1. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. Taxes are in the Bible. Yes, they are. And all the acts of his power and of his might And I want you to concentrate on that next phrase. And if you have an ink pen and you've been marking in the book, would you please mark, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai. Underline that. All the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai. Comma, whereunto the king advanced him. Now, if you have a study Bible, and by the way, if you're going to attend Wednesday night Bible study, you ought to think about investing in a study Bible. People ask me all the time, Pastor, what study Bible do you recommend? I recommend two study Bibles, right? This is both of them in the King James Version. I recommend the Life Application Study Bible. You can find it online. A good one's going to cost you $50-$75. The other study Bible I recommend is something called the Thompson Chain Study Bible. You ought to have one of those two Bibles and bring it on Wednesday night when you come. For example, in my study Bible, the word advanced has a little number one beside it. And in the column of my study Bible, it kind of interprets or helps me understand what that word advanced mean. Does anybody else have a number one or a marking by their word there, advanced? Does anybody else have a study Bible out there? Is anybody out there? There we go. Okay. All right. So in my study Bible, it says the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced. In the corner, it says made him great. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject and this title, a great leader. A great leader. My dad taught me a truth that was taught to him, and I do believe it probably finds its lodging in this passage of Scripture and with this man. My dad taught me one time, he said, Tommy, you don't have to wait till you're great to act like you're great. Just bang that around a minute. You don't have to wait till you're great to act like you're great. Tonight's Bible study is going to be a little bit like a businessman's luncheon. It's going to be a little bit like just a Christian Sunday school. And I want to talk to you on the subject of greatness. I think that to be great at something is an admirable goal. I think you ought to desire to be great at whatever God calls you to do. I think you ought to strive to be great. Every husband ought to want to be a great husband. Every wife ought to want to be a great wife. Every employee ought to want to be a great employee. Every employer ought to want to be a great employer. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be great, but there is something definitely wrong with not understanding where greatness comes from. The last three verses of chapter number 10 let us know of the next 8 years, and they exalt this man Mordecai in his greatness. And the writer lets you know that Mordecai was put into second in command, and the king made him great. I submit to you that Mordecai was great before the king ever made him great. Some people think that they're great because of the position or the responsibility that they have. A man is not great because of his position. True greatness is not found in a position. It's found in your disposition or your person. True greatness is not because you have a great responsibility. True greatness is because you possess a great and godly character. I find this true. Sometimes people associate work authority with personal greatness. I find this sometimes, and forgive me, but it makes a beautiful illustration here with my law enforcement people. They have a badge and they have a gun. And so people do what they say. But when the badge is gone and the gun is gone, nobody does what they say. And they can't stand it. They can't take it. They did not learn in their position of authority that greatness does not rest in the position alone. Greatness is something that rests inside of your character. Now stay with me, because people lose this. They have a responsibility at work, and so people do what they tell them to do because of that responsibility, because of that title. But they go home and their kids totally deny them. Their wife won't respect them. They won't love their wife. They have authority in their job and they have nothing at home. And so at the end of the work, they take off their uniform and they put on their humanity. And the uniform brings them authority, but they don't have authority or greatness within themselves. And they're perplexed out of their mind because their world is just so disjointed. The evidence that Mordecai was a great man before the king ever promoted him is found in verse number 3. Look at this, please. And Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and what's that word, class? Accepted. Accepted of the multitude of his brethren. I know many men and women who have great position and great responsibility, but they're not accepted in their person. I know women that can command at their job, but they find no ear at home. And people say, Pastor, why is it one thing when I'm here and one thing when I'm at home? It's one thing when I have the badge. It's another thing in my person. It's one thing when I have the uniform. It's one thing when I have the title. But you strip the title away from me, and I don't have any leverage. I don't have any power. I don't have any authority. Because a lot of people find that they don't have to develop their personal life as long as they have a public title or some type of authority that they can use. And they get lulled into this thing that they think they're great when really they don't understand what greatness is. Mordecai was not this type of man. Mordecai was a great man in his person, before the king ever made him great in his position. Tell me you understand that by saying amen. Okay? But if we're not careful, we find greatness in our position and we lack in our person. And we can really put in 20 years and get a pension at that. But when I get home and my spouse doesn't relate to me, my children don't relate to me, nobody relates to me without the title. It's interesting how that affects our lives. When we read the event and the evidence of Mordecai, I ask myself two questions. What made him great? And what made him accepted? What made him great? Ahasuerus didn't make Mordecai great. He was great before Ahasuerus ever lifted him up. So something else made Mordecai great. And so I began to search the scriptures. Keep something here. Go to Proverbs 15 with me. The lesson tonight will change your life. The lesson tonight will bring focus to your life. The lesson tonight will help you. Whether you're a man, a woman, married, single, employer, employee, just a believer. Chapter 15, verse number 33, please. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is what? Proverbs 18, please. Verse number 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is what, class? Humility. Proverbs 22, please. By, what's our word, please? Humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and what, class? Honor and life. Proverbs 29, please. Pastor, how far are we going to go? One more. Please read. These are great truths. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the, what's the word, class? Humble in spirit. Mordecai was great before the king made him great. Mordecai was not great because he got the promotion. Mordecai got the promotion because he was great. It wasn't the promotion that brought recognition to Mordecai. It was his person. It was his character that God blessed. So many times, if we're not careful, we get the cart before the horse. And we think that the position is more important than our person. We think that greatness in the position is satisfaction, when in reality, if you don't know greatness in your person, you don't know greatness at all. And the spirit of humility, I think, according to the scripture, that goes before honor is the spirit in which rested upon Mordecai. And when you look at Mordecai's life, you see nothing but humility in his life. He's in sackcloth and ashes, torn over what has happened. He was humble when it came to Haman. He was humble when it came before the king. All of the whole spirit of Mordecai was a spirit of humility. Humility, by definition, is the very opposite of pride. Pride is vainglory, haughtiness, being puffed up, boasting, self-willed, self-glory, self-promoter. I would submit to you that pride will never bring honor, it will only bring destruction. Humility is the freedom from pride and from arrogance. Biblically, spiritually speaking, humility is a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. A penitence for sin, a submission to the divine will. Humility is not seeking or demanding personal recognition. Humility is esteeming others better than oneself. Caring for others, not just for self. It is submitting to God in His will. It is refusing to seek greatness for myself. It's mindful of those that are weak, the poor, those that are needy. Humility is to give all glory to God. It's to be totally dependent upon God. It's to walk in a consciousness of God. It's to be kind and gentle and patient toward humanity. As you study the Bible, you will find that it is essential to be for greatness in the kingdom of God. It precedes honor. It's the product of the Spirit of God. It's to be exercised by the child of God. It's a requirement in the hearing of God's word. What makes a man great? His character. The blessing of God upon his life. Who he is in walking with the Lord. I would submit to you that that begins with the spirit of humility. It's a beautiful trait to find humility in our lives. Could I show you something very quickly? Colossians chapter 3, please. Where does humility originate in our lives? When you come to Colossians chapter 3, and we may come back here in just a moment, so you might want to put something here. Please see this. Verse number 12, put on therefore, speaking to the believer, as the child of God or the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, and humbleness of what? Where does humility originate in your, according to this verse, humbleness of mind. Paul wrote, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Goes on to talk about how that mindset of the Lord Jesus was one of humility, where he humbled himself. James chapter 4, please, if you would. Come on, a couple more. James chapter 4. It's Bible study. You should love to turn in your Bible. The truth that I'm teaching tonight will save you from years of frustration. Verse number 10. humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall, what class? Lift you up. 1 Peter chapter 5, please, which would be one more book back to your right. Verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in, what are those two words? Due time, right? The end of the book of Esther closes with the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him to a great position. And what the writer wants you to know is, way before Mordecai got the position of greatness, he was great in his person. Not great in his person in pride, or he would have never known the honor of the promotion. He was great in his person in humility. Mordecai did not promote himself. Mordecai humbled himself, and God promoted him. It's interesting how human nature wants the pride of promotion, but yet won't submit to the humbleness of spirit. I would submit to you that what makes a man or a woman great is really and truthfully the blessing of God upon the character and the spirit of humility in our lives. Amen. So I ask you this question. Is that you? Are you striving for greatness at your job? Are you looking for promotion? Then have the spirit of humility. It does not matter if your employer thinks you're great. But it does matter what God thinks about us. And God knows who we are in our hearts. So many men, their whole life, they have power. They have authority. They command men. They move millions of dollars. They work machinery. They serve in the military. And they have all of this authority in that uniform, in that badge, and they have none of it in themselves. And when it's all done, and all they have is themselves, they're in this no man's land of purpose. They're in this no man's land of peace. They're in this no man's land of self-understanding. And they spend a lot of their lives frustrated because they never learned what it was to have authority in their person through the spirit of humility and of a godly character, apart from somebody giving them a responsibility. No matter who you are, you better be great in your person, and that better be sufficient against position and responsibility, or you're never going to know peace in your life. Let me prove that to you at the end of verse number 3, please. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren. What made him great was his humility and God blessed that, what made him accepted of his brethren? I would use the word selfless. Here's how Mordecai lived his life. Seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. So you have a great man in his own integrity and his character before God. You have a great man that has the spirit of humility. God blesses and promotes and exalts that man to a great position, and he did not let power corrupt him. Even in the promotion that God gave to him, he's still selflessly seeking the benefit of others. You see that? Seeking the welfare or the wealth of his people and speaking peace. Now, you're a Bible student, right? Amen to that? So if you're speaking peace out your mouth, then peace has to be located somewhere else in your body. Where? Your heart. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you speak with forked tongue, which means you go to work and you tell people they're better than they really are, or you lie, or you flatter, or you're dishonest, that came from your heart. If you speak anger, it came from my heart. If I speak rage, it comes from my heart. If I speak pride, it comes from my heart, right? So what comes out my mouth has to be in my heart. Colossians, back to Colossians 3. Come on. You're enjoying this. I'll say amen to that. I'm trying to save you a life of frustration. Where did I tell you to go? Colossians chapter 3. For time's sake, and I know I'm running up. Verse number 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, we were here, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on love or charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now watch this. And let the peace of God rule in your what? Hearts. To the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What makes a man great? What makes a woman great? The spirit of humility in our lives is the platform to greatness. Greatness is not in your position. It's in your disposition. It's not just in your position, it's in your person. Your title one day is going to go away. Your integrity and your character should stay with you all of your life. What makes a man or a woman accepted in his brethren? Selflessness. Seeking the welfare of others. Speaking peace unto their seed. The evidence of greatness is the spirit of humility and the spirit of selflessness. The blessing of God and the promotion of God off the humility and the seeking of the welfare of others and the ability to speak peace to the seed, to our families, to those around us. Mordecai was great before the king ever advanced him. You don't have to be great to act great. You don't have to be in a position of greatness to be great. God knows our hearts. And it ought to matter to us how God defines greatness way more than anybody else. So you get to the end of your work life. You better have an integrity and a character in your person that's blessed of God. Pastor, at work, people do what I say. Outside of work, I have nothing. There's a problem. The problem is greatness is in your position or your uniform or your badge or your authority, and it's not in your person. We want it to be in our person. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father God, a message like this is a message that a pastor preaches based off of experience dealing with men and women who are so frustrated because they've been searching for satisfaction in the greatness of position or responsibility and not in their personage. And to the believer, our greatness ought to be our faith, our trust in you, the blessing of God upon our life. And that begins with the spirit of humility. Before honor comes humility. So if a wife wants to be honored, she should know humility. If a child wants to be honored, they should know humility. If a man wants to know honor, he'll know it through humility. And the evidence of that is, God, you exalt in due time humility. It's a great, great truth. Mordecai was godly and great before the king advanced him. We need to see that in our own person. That makes me get up in the morning and read my Bible. That makes me pray. That makes me stay close to God. That makes me think right about myself. Think right about others. Accepted because he was selfless. He sought the welfare of others. He was able to speak peace because peace ruled and reigned in his heart. Help us to be that type of person tomorrow at the job. Help us to be that type of person in our families. Help us to be that type of person in our communities. Help us to know that type of blessing in our lives. It's been a great book, The Providence of God. And it finishes now with the going forward of how to live our lives in the spirit of humility and selflessness as we be a blessing to others. We love you. Thank you for this great truth now. In Jesus' name, amen. Our song, I thought, would be fitting to go home. It deals with peace. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Stand if you would. Let's sing. We'll be back on Sunday. God bless you.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest.
Good night, everyone. You are dismissed.